Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's Monday, July 26th. I'm your host, Stephanie Maltrich. Thanks for tuning in to the last week of the 2021 Fish Report. This week, we'll take a look back at the season with three shows airing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Each show will explore fishing through a unique lens. Tonight, we take a look at the ecology of the fish and waters surrounding Bristol Bay. The 2021 sockeye run is the largest on record. We dive into why this year was so bountiful in Bristol Bay.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Bristol Bay's 2021 sockeye run is the largest on record. The total run was at 64.2 million on July 22nd. On June 20th, the sockeye run reached 63.2 million fish, eclipsing the previous record of 62.9 million fish. Set in 2018, this is the fourth time since 1952 that the Bay's run has surpassed 60 million sockeye. The Nooshigak District on the west side of the fishery also set several records this season. Fishermen in the Nooshigak broke the district's record for daily catch 2 days in a row. They hauled in 1.7 million fish on June 30th and 1.8 million on July 1st. The Nooshigak District's escapement is also the largest on record, as 9.85 million fish swam upriver this season, surpassing the 2018 count of 9.5 million. The district's total sockeye run of 27.4 million fish is the second largest on record, behind the 2018 record of 33 million. Other species haven't been as prolific. The Nooshigak River's Chinook run has yet to meet the minimum escapement of 55,000 kings. It's the third season in a row where the Chinook run fell below the minimum goal. The Ugashik district didn't break records this year, but it came close. The district's escapement is the second highest on record, with 2.7 million fish. The record was set in 1980 with 3.3 million fish. Ugashik's run was also significant, as a total of 7.54 million fish returned, surpassing the forecast of 6.5 million. The Ugashik's largest run returned in 1980 at 8.26 million. Other districts exceeded their escapement goals without coming close to breaking records. The Naknek Kwejek saw 19.1 million fish return to the rivers, passing the forecast of 17 million fish. So far, the Egigik District falls short on its forecast of 11 million fish, with the season total coming to 9.6 million. It met its lower end escapement goal of 800,000 fish, as 1.8 million fish swam upriver so far. Bristol Bay's enormous sockeye run stands in stark contrast to salmon returns in other areas of the state. The sockeye and Chinook runs to the Chignik River are extremely low for the fourth year in a row. And as the Chum and Chinook runs to the Yukon River hit record lows, people there are struggling to get enough fish for subsistence. Bristol Bay's sockeye run is now over 64 million fish. Other runs in the state are at record lows. Last week, KDLG's Izzy Ross spoke with Greg Buck, a research biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Bristol Bay Commercial Fisheries Division.
Why are we seeing these big runs, especially in the past several years?
Yeah, that's a good question, and if you can tell me an answer to that, I'll give you my next paycheck. It's a lively debate right now. Something appears to be going on in the ocean that is not favoring Gulf of Alaska stocks, but is really favoring Western Alaska stocks. It's very unclear what that is, but it has something to do with ocean conditions that are treating these two broad geographical areas differently. Yes, we've had some very good runs. It kind of appears to be really exacerbated by certain age classes. Age 1, 2s have just been off the hook. I mean, just eye-popping numbers. Wood River a couple of years ago, Naknek last year, Nooshigak this year. I guess my best guess would be really good growing conditions for Western Alaska stocks that causes fish to mature early and in very large numbers. That would be my best guess. But, you know, we know so little about the ecology of these fish in the ocean that it's kind of speculation.
Sometimes when you're in Bristol Bay, it's hard to look to other areas of the state because you're so overwhelmed by how many fish there are here that it feels very, like, otherworldly to see, you know, runs really dwindling in other areas of the state, if not totally failing.
It's been quite remarkable the last couple of years. We've just been setting records while other areas of the state have been just in dire straits. Yeah, believe me. Yeah, amongst us area research biologists, there is a very loud debate for 2 or 3 years on why this is. I think the only thing we can agree on, it has something to do with the maturity rate at sea. It doesn't have to do with the in-river or the spawning ground situations. It has to do with the ocean. Unfortunately, of the salmon's life history, that's the part we know the least about.
Right. It's just so fascinating to think about, and it's just such a stark difference that I'm sure every one of your colleagues has thoughts on this as well. Thinking about maturity and growth conditions, I was speaking to Dan Schindler a couple weeks ago. We were talking about fish size, and he was talking about juvenile salmon maturing, you know, in fresh water, and how warmer waters to a point can provide more food for those young salmon. Is that one of the strains of thought where it's like, oh, you know, maybe at this point for Western stocks, but not Gulf of Alaska stocks?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's definitely a theory in contention. Our kind of understanding of the life cycle of salmon is that one of the biggest choke points is when they smolt out. It's the early ocean life history that's the hardest. And so a couple of years ago when we had this gigantic Nooshigak run, and it was kind of all the rivers in the Nooshigak, I was thinking, wow, I mean, it just must have been a picnic for those smolts and all of these rivers that were in that bay, that bleed into that bay, because they're all booming. When I say the ocean part of their lifespan, it might be the early ocean lifespan that is what we're just getting blessed with. There may be something going on in the early estuary life history of these post-smolts that's setting them up for success, where in other parts of the state have turned totally negative. Ocean temperatures are definitely a suspect, a person of interest, as the detective shows would say. I mean, that's changing a lot, and it's setting up weird things. We're seeing it in groundfish, we're seeing it in herring, we're seeing it in salmon. What we really haven't worked out is what the exact mechanism is. Temperature's at the top of my list.
Why is it so hard to study salmon once they get out into the ocean? Is it just because of the vastness of the ocean and the fact that it's just a very uncontrolled and unpredictable giant environment to research?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Find me 100 Nooshigak fish in the Bering Sea in January. I've often remarked on this. You know, everybody likes to hark back to the bad old days when there was a Japanese high seas fishery in the 70s and 60s and 50s. But our best data is from that period.
Because people were out there, right?
People were out there. People were catching fish. We could look at them. Since that shut down in, what, I guess, 73, there's nothing. I mean, there's a couple of research cruises here and there, but, I mean, it's slim pickings. It's hard to study fish out in the middle of the ocean. It doesn't take a lot of money to sample a Nooshigak fish in the Nooshigak, but sample a Nooshigak fish in the middle of the Bering Sea in December? Yeah, that's going to take 6 figures or more. Doesn't happen.
Thanks for taking a couple minutes to talk, Greg. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
The average Bristol Bay sockeye this year is smaller. That's part of a trend over the past 4 decades, as increasingly smaller fish have returned to the bay amid larger salmon runs and warming oceans. As KDLG's Brian Venwell reports, everyone from processor executives to biologists now have to consider what smaller fish mean for Bristol Bay.
Bristol Bay is home to the largest sockeye run on the planet, but while the size of the run broke records, the fish are getting smaller. Last year's average weight for sockeye was 5.1 pounds, but the 2021 average was just 4.5 pounds, according to the McKinley Research Group. John Hickman is the Executive Vice President of Operations for Peter Pan Seafoods. He says the smaller fish play a role in how much time processors spend processing.
You know, smaller fish are going to take longer to process. You know, it's, you're handling a 4-pound fish or a 3-pound fish as opposed to a 5-pound fish. So every time you handle one, there's a 2-pound difference. So therefore, there's more labor going into those smaller fish.
Hickman says he isn't worried about how the smaller fish will play in Peter Pan's markets. Demand is good, and he's comfortable with the market for fish big and small. But why are Bristol Bay's salmon shrinking? First, the returning fish are younger than normal. A salmon's age is measured by how many years it spends in the ocean. A 2-ocean fish, for example, has spent 2 years in the ocean before returning to its spawning grounds. Greg Buck, a biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says most fish that returned this year only spent 1 or 2 years in the ocean instead of 3.
I'm going to be gambling like it's somebody else's money when it comes to the age 1-2s and next year's forecast. I mean, I've been burned a couple of times. I'm normally kind of conservative when I forecast, but this year I might not be.
But Dan Schindler, the principal investigator in the University of Washington's Alaska Salmon Program, says fish are also smaller for their age.
The size of fish has declined for their age. So the size of 2-ocean fish has been declining slowly through time, and the size of 3-ocean fish has been slowly declining through time.
Schindler says the sheer number of fish can lead to more competition for food in the ocean. Large runs, like this year's record, tend to have smaller fish. There are also more salmon in the North Pacific Ocean now than there have been in over a century due to an increase in hatchery pink and chum salmon.
This declining size at a given age is really, you know, a function of more hungry mouths from lots of Bristol Bay fish, but also more hungry mouths from all those hatchery fish that we're dumping out into the ocean.
Until recently, scientists and the fishing community didn't pay much attention to the shrinking salmon trend. That's because in the 1970s, more salmon started to spend an extra year in the ocean, and older fish usually come in bigger than their younger counterparts. But Schindler says in the last 10 years, more fish have returned after 2 years.
So right now we're sort of seeing the effect of a double whammy on fish size. And the last 4 or 5 years, you know, we've seen a lot of really small fish in the catches and in the escapements. And that's because there's a lot of 2-ocean fish, and those 2-ocean fish are relatively small given the history of Bristol Bay.
Warming oceans may also play a role, but Schindler says the connection is less direct. Warm oceans have been correlated with increased survival for Bristol Bay salmon, which means more competition for food. In Dillingham, I'm Brian Venois.
The Nooshigak King Run hasn't met its minimum escapement goal this year. The Nooshigak sonar crew counted over 45,300 kinks, 700 fish less than the 55,000 minimum. It's the third year that the Nooshigak Chinook Run has not met its escapement, part of a trend of declining king runs around the state. KDLG's Izzy Ross caught up with Dee Dee Bennis, a Dillingham resident who has practiced subsistence for her whole life, and she shares her perspective on this year's king return.
Dee Dee, tell me how subsistence was this year.
Subsistence was good for us. You know, we were so blessed we had get an abundance of red. The kings, we didn't get as much as we have in the past years. Last year we didn't get anything, really. This year we got a few more than we did last year, but it differs a little bit from previous years because we just didn't get any large amount of kings like we do when the run comes in. You know, 1, 2, 3, lucky if we get 5 at one tide, but, you know, over the 3 weeks trying to catch kings, you know, we'd get 1 or 2, if that, on the beach, subsisting at Kanakanak. So there was a difference, you know, this year over previous years because it was cold, colder than usual, and windy. Usually the wind brings in the kings, but this year there just wasn't any abundance of kings that we got in our net.
It was colder this year. I noticed that as well, and especially compared to the past 2 summers, it was just really chilly.
It was, and it not only was it cold,
cold, it was rainy, you know, a lot of moisture. When you're processing your salmon, as we do and as most families do, we smoke them, dry them, and then we smoke them. And it was just, you know, like I told my husband, I go to bed thinking about the fish and get up thinking about them and wanting to make sure that they get good air circulation and also keep a smoke on them. That was not just a week, but it went 2 weeks and then 3 weeks. And so it was a long summer trying to process the fish. And at the same time, I feel really blessed because we have an abundance of fish. When you look around the state and see how others aren't catching any salmon like we do, it's a blessing, but it was just difficult because of the cold and the rain.
You mentioned last year very few kings. This year a couple more, but still not that many. Do you remember previous years when there were more kings in subsistence nets?
Oh, most definitely. Of course, it's all if the wind is right hitting your beach. But yeah, no, we'd get easily 30, 40 kings and able to process some smoking and salting and canning. But fish in the last 2-3 years, we just, you know, haven't gotten anything to really speak of. And I just don't know if it's because of climate change or what, but definitely we notice the cold and the rain this year. For past years, I mean, last year it was really super hot. This year it was cold, so there's no predictability on whether or not we're going to get an abundance of kings, and we haven't.
Well, thanks so much for taking a couple minutes to just talk about how your season was, Dee Dee. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, anytime, Nadine.
High water levels around Bristol Bay this summer changed how people fished, from sport fishermen to bears. The Katmai National Park and Preserve issued a 72-hour closure of a portion of Brooks River in mid-July. In an announcement, Park Superintendent Mark Sturm said the water levels in the Brooks River have been unusually high this year, and the bears have a harder time fishing in deep waters. This closure will give bears unhindered access to shallower waters. The area is typically open to anglers, photographers, and tourists. Bears are most successful with their fishing without the interference or presence of humans. Leaving these waters open to humans would have dissuaded bears from fishing there. Park staff used the time as an opportunity to study the bears' eating habits. Though there was a possibility that the 72-hour closure would be extended, it wasn't. The river has been back to normal operations since July 16th.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I.
It's been a wet and rainy summer. But that's not the norm for Bristol. That's not out of the norm for Bristol Bay. Alaska climate specialist Rick Toman joins us for a final weather report.
Okay, so we have Rick Toman back on the phone for our final Bristol Bay weather report. And Rick, we just kind of wanted to talk to you about how was the weather this season on Bristol Bay, and you know, was it different? We heard there was some rougher weather. So how would you recap the weather this season?
Well, thanks, Stephanie. It certainly was a very different season weather-wise than what we've seen several of the last few summers, with really a lack of any extreme warm weather. No, certainly no prolonged sunny weather. Certainly individual days were nice. But as you mentioned, significant storminess during the season this year, somewhat different than we've seen the last few years in general. And overall, I think most people's impression, a pretty cloudy time, pretty cool weather, and certainly plenty of rain, which has been the story up and down Western Alaska. It's been a pretty cloudy and wet summer.
This is my first summer here, but people have told me this is more the norm.
Yeah, certainly nothing historically unusual about what we've seen this summer in the Bristol Bay region. But compared to most of the last few summers, it is quite different. But, you know, we go back 10 or 20 years, and this is kind of what you might expect. It's really, the difference from the last few years is noticeable, but it is, in the long view, pretty normal.
Anything else that stands out from this summer weather-wise for you?
Obviously, it was a pretty good season as far as fish catch. One interesting feature in Bristol Bay, the water temperatures all in all, we came through the winter generally warmer than normal, but during the fishery season here, surface temperatures at least have all generally been pretty close to normal. And I don't know if that contributed to the fish catch this year, but that is another way that this year was different than many of the last several, where we had very warm waters in Bristol Bay.
Oh, wow, that is very interesting. Lastly, we just want to look forward again for our final week of the fish report. What's coming up this week for the marine weather forecast around the area?
So what we have, an interesting situation developing for the upcoming week. We're going to be seeing a series of storms track across the northern Bering Sea and going to give areas, say, YK Delta northward, quite a bit of rain. However, Bristol Bay is going to be on the periphery of high pressure over the Gulf of Alaska and some storminess out over the central Aleutians. So all in all, doesn't look particularly stormy for the Bristol Bay region for the upcoming week, but it's going to be a different story elsewhere. So Bristol Bay would be a good place to be for the next week.
Great. Well, Rick, thank you so much, not just for today, but for every week this season. It's been really valuable to hear your insights on the weather, and I'm sure all the people out on the water appreciate it too.
You bet. Happy to help, Stephanie. Glad to help out Bristol Bay.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one. The salmon runs to the Chignik River have been low for the fourth year in a row. There is no clear understanding of what environmental factors have contributed to the extremely low salmon runs over the past 4 years. But people there have noticed changes to the local ecosystem. Alvin Peterson is a retired fisherman who has lived in Chignik Lagoon his whole life. Peterson conducted research with the University of Washington in Black and Chignik Lakes, trapping sockeye through the ice.
We didn't find a whole lot of sockeye, so the oxygen levels were low, and they thought a lot of the fish had moved on, or not overwintering up there.
Peterson also ran a charter boat for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Chignik Lagoon and Mud Bay in the early 2010s to study eelgrass.
I think the result of that was a lot of the habitat is degrading, erosion and sediment buildup. The waters are getting shallower up in the head of the bay with the eelgrass and the volcanic movement.
This year, Peterson has noticed that smaller salmon runs have affected other wildlife there.
My personal feeling is there's hardly enough fish to feed the bears now. You know, we have a lot of bear, and there's bears roaming around the village and down the shoreline that should be up in the creeks now eating fish, and they're waiting to eat berries. So their diets are changing too, and a lot of them are skinny.
So far, just over 400,000 sockeye have returned to the Chignik River. About 900 pinks have returned, and the Chinook run is at 900 fish. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife plan to launch a 3-year research project along with Chignik Intertribal Coalition to find out why the Chignik River's Chinook run has declined.
Support for KDLG comes from Crowley, proudly fueling business and industry across Alaska, including Bristol Bay Fisheries, with a full range of commercial marine fuels and on and offshore fueling. Details at crowley.com/Bristol Bay.
And that's about it for tonight's show. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay before we head out. This evening in Bristol Bay, there will be variable wind less than 10 knots, becoming southwest 10 knots after midnight with seas at 2 feet. Tomorrow, Tuesday, southwest winds at 10 knots, seas at 2 feet. And tomorrow night, south winds at 15 knots, seas at 2 feet. And from Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef, there is a small craft advisory through Tuesday night. Tonight, there will be variable wind 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. Tuesday, south winds 15 knots, increasing to 25 knots in the afternoon, seas at 3 feet. And Tuesday night, south wind 25 knots, seas at 5 feet. And over to the tides, we're actually looking at tomorrow because today's tides are already done. So tomorrow morning, we'll have at Nooshigak Point, we'll have a high tide at 5:46 a.m. at 22.63 feet. And over at the Naknek River entrance, we'll have a high tide at 5:56 a.m. at 24.68 feet. And over at the Egigek River entrance, we'll have a high tide at 4:45 a.m. at 19.4 feet. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. We really appreciate it. I'm Stephanie Maltrich. Good night, good fishing, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday.